to America is presented by the good people at the Podbelly Network.
My fellow Americans, we are fortunate to be alive.
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Protect us from the Central University. A study on Hawaii killed 290 people. It's called democide.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 232, and if it's not episode 232, it's episode 233 of the Art and Jacob Do America podcast. I am your host, in the place to be, Mr. Jacob P., and sitting right across from me on this lovely mid-October evening is the brown recluse, Mr. Artrio. Art, say hello to the millions.
And millions. What the fuck is going on, America? What's cracking, cacahuates? I'm going to keep saying it.
Put that on a shirt.
Saying it. That's shirt quality slogan. Guys, you know what else is shirt quality? Caveman Coffee. They got t-shirts at Caveman Coffee. They got the hibiscus tea. They got the coffee beans. They got the cacao butter. They got everything your heart desires. They got sweatpants. They got hats. But guys, check it all out. Christmas is almost here. You want to get ahead of that shit. And I know it sounds like, oh, I don't want to get like my wife or husband or whatever it is a fucking basic ass like Caveman Coffee. No, this shit is like legit. Like, who doesn't fucking want good-ass quality coffee? This isn't some Folgers-ass, like, basic coffee. This is, like, this is the... You drink the quality shit. Exactly. In this house, you drink the quality shit. Make your significant other take their fucking... They're here right now. You don't know... You can't see me, but they're here right now. Their coffee game is here. Take it up to that next level. 2022? That's the year of the coffee. All right, guys. We're going to take it up to that level.
Year of the bean?
Year of the bean. Year of the coffee bean. Yeah. But guys, take it up there. Use promo code America at checkout to receive 15% off your total purchase price. Take a picture of yourself wearing the coffee. You could do that. Wearing the clothes.
The bathtub just covered
just
in coffee grounds.
Yeah, the entire bathtub covered in. Yeah. Hey, I heard it's good for the skin.
It actually is. Could exfoliate.
Yeah. And so take a picture of yourself doing that shit. Wearing the shirts, wearing the hats, drinking the cacao butter. Just melt the cacao butter and drink that as a drink. That's kind of weird, but do it. It shows that you care. We appreciate it. They appreciate it. That's all.
So with that said, everybody, make sure you check out our other sponsor. Guys, go ahead and go over to sucrapparel.com or SKR Apparel. Check out the wide array of merchandise that our buddy, our pal, the great and powerful Nicole Smith-Bosch has over there. She has designs that she is continuously updating every single week, it seems like. So head on over there. Find something that you like. Our buddy Jesus at JFwent33 on all of the social medias pretty much is her official model for all of her clothing. So head on over there. Check out, you know, what he's wearing. He's sporting for SKR Apparel. And if you like anything that he's wearing, head on over to sucrapparel.com.
If you like what you see.
You like what you see, send him a DM.
I think he's single, ladies.
Woo!
He's been single for a while, so...
And he loves that country music. But with that said, head on over to sucrapparel.com. Find what Jesus is wearing and modeling very sexually. put that shit in your cart. And when you put that shit in your cart, enter promo code Art and Jacob, and Nicole will give you 10% off your entire purchase. So with that said, Art, we are not here to talk about the very delicious and sexually attractive Jesus Fuentes or...
Yeah,
cocoa
wait,
butter.
Wait, are we though? Because, like, dude, I ain't joking. He's single. He's been single for a while, so he's fully loaded, ladies. Mm-hmm. That machine gun is going to be busting some nuts when it gets a chance.
It's like the grandmother from fucking Nutty Professor. Like, once she gets up in there, it's going to be like a balloon. It's going to blow your head off, ladies.
Yeah, basically that, dude. Yeah. It's going to get gross, but in a good way. guys, we're not here to talk about that. We're going to talk about... We'll talk about other things. Guys, Halloween is coming up, and we're going to continue this Halloween-themed spooky episodes.
Dude, we got 5 weeks of this.
Yeah, I actually really like this, because without even planning this, there's this like Native American theme in like all of these Halloween episodes. This one's probably the loosest one of all of them, but yeah. Like there's still a little bit of a Native American theme. Obviously, Wendigo, and then what did we do before that?
The Frankenstein experiments.
I don't think there was Native American. That.
Well, yeah, there is because fucking. No, that's still Wendigo because I was like Pet Cemetery or whatever.
No, yeah, okay, so
bringing shit back to kind of because
excluding the Frankenstein. Oh wait, you got one.
Yeah, because Pet Cemetery, they're bringing fucking animals back to life, like the Frankenstein experiments. Mix that in with the Wendigo.
That one's
Pet
pretty
Cemetery.
Okay. Then that one's the loosest one. This yeah. one is a little bit more.
A little bit.
But
more.
There is a little bit more of a Native American tinge to every topic.
Yeah.
Insert that Native American song here. But guys, this is a murder mystery. So if you guys are in, or just a mystery in general, I'm a big mystery head myself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the ones that's been on my bucket list of topics to cover now for a while. This is the, and I'm gonna be careful here how I phrase this. This is the missing mystery, the murder mystery of the missing Christopher Jenkins. But you could say. Is it a murder-suicide? Is it a missing case? Is it a murder case?
It's an unsolved mystery.
It's an unsolved mystery? Unsolved mystery, yeah. That's good. And think about this. So one of the things that really pulls me towards this case in particular is at one point we were all in our early 20s. We were all in that phase where we, you know, were... I think most people aren't dating the person that they were dating in their early 20s. But it usually... If you really think about it, that person in your early 20s is probably the person that brought out the worst in you and like would drag you to go, let's go to the Mint. Let's go to, you know, the Mint's a local watering hole here in town. If you're into country music, they would be like, let's go to Hooters. Let's go to Rockin' Wings.
the bullshit.
We go bullshit. You know, different places. I mean, hey, different strokes for different folks. But the common denominator is that they were all terrible people, mm-hmm. like guy or girl. Like the guy version of it is like, we're going to fucking Sandrini's tonight. We're gonna dress as pirates, or whatever. And it's just like, dude, that okay. First of all, I just want to give everyone listening to this, give yourself a round of applause for not being with that person anymore.
Yes,
just want to say that I'm proud of you. Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is proud of you. I you know, say no more. You're in a better place now because of the growth. And
amen, brother.
But Chris, unfortunately, does not get to live past his 21st birthday. So Halloween night, October 31st, usually lands October 31st, 2002, you know, right after 9/11.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, he's not letting the terrorists win at this
point. He's like, dude, I'm not going to let terrorists win, man.
I'm not going to be controlled by fear.
Yeah, dude. NBA season just started, dude. The Timberwolves have Kevin Garnett. We're going to go all the way this year, bro.
Got rid of Stephon Marbury.
Dude, Kevin Garnett is like the fucking truth, dude. He's going to win like 10 championships here in the city. Anyways, guys. So he's pretty excited. He's in Minnesota.
And he's in his last year of college. I saw some stuff about how, you know, he already had some interviews lined up with some potential employers. He was captain of the lacrosse team.
This guy was fucking killing it.
And not only was he like, you know, an all-star, you know, in school and then on the field, but also in life as well. And I know like every parent likes to think like their child is special, but I guess like a lot of people say like he was just like that great of a person. And one of the TV shows that I saw that covered this topic as well said that like one time in high school, there was a mentally challenged person getting picked on, you know, by a bully, and Chris being, you know, the athlete he was and the good person that he was, he went up to that bully, you know, held him up by their collar and slammed him against the wall and said, hey, you don't fuck with this kid no more because this kid's my best friend. And I think that's amazing to put out there as well, that not only was he, you know, a great, you know, student, not only a great athlete, but he was a great person.
You have a child. I don't have a child, but I do think that I think most parents would be very proud to have a son like Chris, mm-hmm. where it's like, dude, this guy is not only a gentleman, but a scholar. And like, he's like in the lacrosse team. Lacrosse team is like, I know most people think like football player, baseball player is probably like getting all the like highlights, but lacrosse team guy in college, dude, in like those like fancy ass colleges, like you're fucking killing it. This ain't no Bakersfield college shit. This is no. like, You're killing
the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, like, dude, this guy was like killing it. And it's important to say this because later on we'll get down some theories, and this is why I don't. There's one theory in particular I don't buy into because he was so like well put together. Like the dude was getting built for success down the line.
Correct.
So
he's gonna be a STL at Target or some shit.
Yeah, he's like one of those dudes that was gonna like probably get a job at Enron and get fired later on. So, but he was gonna kill it for those like 2 years at Enron.
Yeah, he was gonna get a nice severance package. We'll just say that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Art, you want to go ahead and get into it?
So yeah, I mean, very typical night, Halloween night. Picture yourself being a 21-year-old in your version of this town. We're in Minnesota, but picture yourself in your hometown. So he's out. He goes out drinking. He goes to a peg party.
I hope he doesn't go to a pegging party.
He goes to a keg party, which, by the way, what does that even mean? Does that just mean there's a keg at this party?
Yeah, there's a keg at somebody's house.
I always think that's such a lame thing. Even when I was like younger, I was like, keg party, whatever, dude. but yeah, he goes to a keg party, and he's getting there. He's getting wasted with his friends. Typical 21-year-old.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. This party eventually says, like, hey, let's go down to a bar downtown. The bar is the Lone Tree Bar, a bar where his girlfriend works, but not tonight. She's not working there. She's just a customer there that night.
Just a patron.
Just a patron. And it is Halloween night, so everyone's dressed up in their Halloween costumes.
Words are hard, everybody.
Words are hard. I was gonna say los ánimos are high, but just high spirits. The spirits are high. Just because it's Halloween night and there's alcohol flowing and everyone's having a good time, and when you're young, you don't give a fuck. Because worst case scenario, you're gonna get Taco Bell at like 4 a.m. and it
sounds like a good night to me.
And then you're gonna have to just go to work the next day and be fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, they go to this bar. He meets up with his girlfriend. You know, he's got friends there, but everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And one of the things that I think is important is, like, think back to yourself at those 21-year-olds. Unless you're a 21-year-old right now, you're like, yeah, this shit happens. When you're 21, there's so many times that, like, 21-year-olds are invested in, like, oh, man, Mark and Lisa are, like, fucking over here. Like, you know, like, you're so distracted by, like, 21-year-old problems that you don't really pay attention to when a friend gets, like, separated from the crew.
Correct.
So I don't put a lot of weight into like the why didn't his friends like go out, because you're fucking 21 years old. That's why
you're trying to get laid.
Yeah. So he goes to this local watering hole. Everyone's there having a good time. Meets up with his girlfriend. His girlfriend is dressed as a sexy police officer. He is dressed as a sexy Native American. This is why we tie in the Native American thing.
Yeah.
He's just dressed like a very, it looks like he went to Spirit Halloween costume and picked out the one that only cost $25.
Yeah.
And got his like Native American spirit outfit. But he shows up, he's wearing that. He meets all of his girlfriend's coworkers, which are at the bar that night. Mm-hmm. They're all having a good time. At one point, and then this story varies depending on
who's telling it,
but most people will agree that at one point he spills a beer on his pants. And it looks like he peed himself. And one of the people that he had met earlier that day was Mike Casey, who is kind of operating as a bouncer at a different place, but he's at that bar that same night. Like, he's kind of just
in and out.
In and out kind of thing, meeting people. So he goes, he meets him, and he tells, like, the bouncer at the Lone Tree Bar, like, hey, this dude just pissed himself. Get this fucking guy out of here. This guy's making a fool of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So security guards get him out of there. They kick him out. And this is where it's a little bit suspicious. Like, you know, you've dated someone in your life. I've dated someone in my early 20s. At that point, wouldn't you think that significant other would come out with them?
Yes.
A little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll fast forward. I'm just going to tell a story as if nothing's happening. So fast forward to the next day, his girlfriend goes to go drop off something at his house. Like she had all his belongings with him.
Yeah, because his costume didn't have any pockets, and so he had given her his keys, his wallet, and his cell phone. So he didn't have anything on him at this time. So she, you know, the next day goes to return it at his apartment, which was like right off of campus.
Yeah, so she goes over there. She's like, I'm here to return all your shit. only to find that he had not been home. His costume was in home. Nothing was different.
No from Taco Bell wrappers on the floor.
Yeah, nothing was moved from the night before. So she's like, this is kind of weird. Maybe I should tell his parents. So she tells his parents. She tells his older sister. Can't remember the older sister's name, but she lets them all know, like, hey, Chris is in here. So automatically, being good parents, they worry.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, he's not there? Like, what the hell did he do? Like,
we need to contact the police.
He didn't have his car, so he didn't drive home. He didn't stay in his car. He didn't have access to his car keys. So they contact the police. The police is basically like, you know what? We need 72 hours to go by before we can actually, like, open up a missing case investigation.
And one of the cops, I guess, had told him, like, maybe he went on a last-minute road trip. And it's just like, he didn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have his wallet. Who the fuck just goes on a random fucking road trip?
On Halloween night.
Yeah, like on Halloween night. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I didn't think that made sense at all. I know that there's police protocols and all this shit that they have to follow, but that was one of those things that's like, dude, that makes no sense. Like, why would you even tell the parents that bullshit? So, basically, the police don't do anything for 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The parents are obviously worried. Once they open up a case, they can't find Chris. Sorry, my throat is, like, really parched.
It's okay.
I drank this entire bottle of water, but let me just drink the last droplets.
Okay. While you're doing that, so they set up a search team. They actually go all over. They retrace his steps. They look all over, you know, where the Lone Tree Bar was at. They, you know, they search around, like, the Henneman, I guess it's, like, the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's a island, a little parcel of land located within, it's on the Mississippi River. Called Nicolet Island. They look all over there because that was a popular spot, which is going to come back into, you know, later on in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
They search all over this Nicolet Island, which is down the street from another bridge, and they just cannot find Chris at all anywhere. And so fast forward, I guess you want to fast forward to when they actually do find him, which is 4 months later, February 27th, which is your boy's birthday, February 27th of 2003. You know, some joggers, they were jogging across the St. Anthony Falls Bridge, which is a mile or two down from the Henneman Bridge. And they see something caught up in these trees that's by this, like, little waterfall area.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ladies, she looks and she notices it's a body. It's a Native American dressed body, whatever, like in a spirit suit. And the arms are kind of like, you know, crossed like King Tut, but it's like perfectly intact. And so, you know, they call police and whatnot, and they find out that, it's this Christopher Jenkins that had been missing for 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, so let's go into the body. We'll lay down all the facts, and then we'll go back into theories.
Yeah, we'll Quentin Tarantino this a little bit.
So looking at the body, as Jacob mentioned, the arms were kind of crossed in this very King Tut scenario. Not typically how you find dead bodies that have been drowned.
Yes.
In the river. Typically, when people drown, they're struggling for their life. They're batting their arms and legs in any direction to try to, like, swim against the current or swim with the current to try to get to land. Typically, crossing your arms in a fist, he had his hands in fists, doesn't really make sense. They also find a clump of hair, which in his hand, which they later determined that it must have been his because the DNA tests were inconclusive, but it did look like his hair.
Yeah, it was his hair, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that it was inconclusive, but they did determine that it was his hair because it matched his hair perfectly.
Correct.
Damn, my throat is, like, super parched.
You sure you don't got corona?
I'm sure. I think it's just from all the talking from the Patreon episode.
We convert art to a country music fan.
Yeah, dude, I'm, like, a big country guy right now. Like, this is the most country, like, honky tonk badonkadonk, like, it's pretty serious. Dude, like, I when that Las Vegas shooting happened, I you know Fat Mike from he sings in NoFX,
okay,
he said that at least it happened to a country music show.
Oh,
and people got all offended, and I'm like, dude, chill the fuck out, you goddamn liberal, stop getting offended by that shit. Like,
goddamn snowflakes.
Yeah, it's like, goddamn snowflakes, getting cancel culture bastards, always trying to cancel people for comedy. Anyways, dude, yeah, I'm all about country music right now. But yeah, anyway, so they find his body. Not only do they find his body and there's, like, weird things, like, even if it was a clump of his own hair, Why would he be pulling at his own hair while he's struggling to survive?
And not only that, but they're assuming that he drowned. You normally find a drowned victim face down. Mm-hmm. And his body was face up. And then the position in which the joggers had initially found him had moved, and it caught onto this tree, and it was still facing up. So given the way body decomposition happens or whatever, right, that body would have been face down if he had drowned when he passed away.
Yeah, that was one of the big things. Also, his shoes were still on.
His shirt was perfectly tucked in still.
Tucked in, which a lot of the theories down the line say, like, maybe he stopped to, like, pee in the river, and then he fell in. And it's like, why would you pee with your shirt tucked in? Yeah. Where would you find time to tuck it back in as you're falling?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was like, dude, your dick would be out. Like, if we found him with his dick out, case closed, boom.
Yep.
Done. He was peeing, and he fell in.
Yep.
But no, like, not only that, but one of the things that I thought was really interesting, I don't hear a lot of people talking about this, so they found insects embedded into his skin that are not native, but not found in beds of water, and also not found in, like, cold places. So what they believe is that he must have been stored somewhere that it was not cold for a few days, and then the insects, he must have been dead, but the insects must have embedded themselves into, burrowed into his skin. And then dumped in the river, because there's no way that those insects should have been in the river. Like, it didn't happen while he was drowning in the river.
Okay, I didn't see that. That's
interesting. That was one of the most interesting things I saw, and I was like, huh. I only heard two places talk about that. One, some random YouTube girl, and then two, some website that I saw that I was like, oh yeah, like that doesn't make sense. It was like, that's another one of those things that it didn't even get talked about until a second police commissioner takes over, the guy that reopens the case.
Yeah,
then that information was brought out. I don't know if they were just keeping that close to the vest, but that was one of those things that was like, yeah, that's a pretty good sign that it wasn't a fucking suicide. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have insects, it's very Science of the Lambish, where it's like, yeah, that's not natural. But yeah, so they find all these things, like, strange with the body. Like, this does not add up.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the police department determines that it's a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, like, adds up to suicide. The suicide thing is so, like, disrespectful to me.
Yeah. Because,
like, suicide is a very, like, real thing that a lot of people deal with. Like, things like depression, anxiety, just mental disorders. And, like, this did not, he did not even, like, seem like that kind of guy. Like, not only was he, like, excelling at everything, like, but he was extremely outgoing, extremely, like, leadership guy.
He had a lot to look forward to. Like I said, he had, like, job interviews already. He hadn't even graduated college yet, and he's already having job offers from, you know, high paying places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, he's dating, you know, this Ashley Rice, who, you know, all accounts was,
dang,
you know, she was
said
a dime.
The last name, huh?
Yeah.
She was a dime piece. Yeah. I already know where you're going with it, but yeah, she looked the part.
Yeah. But anyways, it was just like, on the surface level, it looked like he had a lot going for him. Could have been one of those situations, like, there's a lot of people on the surface that look like they had a lot of good things going for them and are very depressed and, you know, end up committing suicide or whatever. So I don't want to discount that. But when you look at the facts around this, it definitely wouldn't have been suicide. So if you want, we can go ahead and some of the theories.
Yeah. And just really quickly, I think that anytime someone dies, you can make a case for it with suicide. Like, nobody has a perfect life. Like, nobody, there's no perfect scenario where, like, dang, did Jacob run that red light on purpose? Or, like, that was like, whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
Like, there is no. I always think that the suicide thing is, like, one of those things that's like, it gets thrown in there. Yeah, it gets thrown in there way too quickly. But you said get into what?
You want to get into some of the theories?
Okay. So, like, let's go into.
Let's go down the suicide theory, because I think that's very important.
Okay.
Because I think this is the weakest theory of them all. I think we can both agree.
And then this is the police's theory right off the bat. It's like, it appears to be a suicide. And here's the things that, like, they say. Whenever, you know, whenever men do commit suicide, it's usually a very, like, gunshot to the head, jumping off a bridge. Like, they're very intense, no going back type suicides. Women will oftentimes, you know, overdose on something, or, like, you know, very slower paced, methodical suicides. Men tend to have more extreme violent suicides, which does fit that, you know, if he jumped off a bridge. That fits that criteria of, like, the way a man traditionally commits suicide. But there's also no footage of him ever going onto the bridge.
The Hennepin Bridge. So that's important, too. So you mentioned earlier that the parents had to hire a private investigator because after the, you know, police say, well, it looks like suicide, there was absolutely no bruising to his body. There was no broken bones. For the most part, you know, they find his body 4 months later after the fact that this happened. So from Halloween all the way up to Jacob's birthday on February 27th.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
How old were you with that day?
2003. I just turned 18. I became legal at that time.
Oh, dang. Jacob's legal.
I could show my dick on the internet.
What was her name? Ashley Rice?
Ashley
you
Rice.
Should have hit her up. I'm on the market.
Get out my MySpace.
That's me texting on that one phone we had to type in, like, the A is 333 or whatever. Like, yeah. Like, oh, man.
A Nokia.
Yeah, the Nokia. Not even the Razor, the little brick.
Yeah.
We get to play Snake on it.
Yeah. Fucking fire ass game though, man. Good reference. Right. But anyways, so they hire this private investigator, and he notices, like, on the Hennepin Bridge, there's actually a Federal Reserve building, and the way he explains it in this TV show, Breaking Homicide: Secrets of the River, check it out if you have Discovery Plus. He says that, you know, a lot of people don't know that this is a Federal Reserve building, which means this is where all the money for this region, you know, flows through. This is where shit goes down, right? So it's basically secured like Fort Knox. And he says they have the highest fucking quality security cameras. So if anybody would have, you know, jumped off the bridge, they would have had footage of it. So he goes and he asks, you know, the Federal Reserve, like, hey, we have this case that we're investigating, and we want to make sure that, you know, nobody did jump off the bridge. We feel the police did a really shoddy job investigating it. Do you mind reviewing your tape, seeing if, you know, if there's anything in it? The Federal Reserve, they oblige him. They look at the security footage, and they're like, you know what? We don't have anybody. Mind you, this is Halloween night. It's a very busy night and whatever. All we see is cars coming down this bridge. There's no, you know, foot traffic across this bridge at all, you know, either that night or the night following it. So that dismisses that theory that, you know, he had jumped off the bridge. Again, like I said, even if he did jump off the bridge, if he would have jumped off, he would have hit, I guess, like these support cables. So he would have been fucking decimated if he jumped off this bridge. A bunch of broken bones or probably would have been, you know, disfiguration of his body or whatever. But no, when his body was found, it was very much intact.
Yeah, I thought the shirt being tucked in and the shoes being on was how did we even get to this place?
Yeah,
just saying. Hey, I'm not a forensic investigator, but.
Mm-hmm. And then we got to look at, you know, the next theory would have been like an accidental death.
Yeah, so most of the people point out that there was parts of the river that were frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard someone talking about how maybe he was trying to cross the bridge, like not the bridge, cross the river on the frozen parts. And I was like, that makes no fucking sense at all. Like, this dude is like a college educated. I get that he's drunk, but he ain't that fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this dude is like college educated, super smart, super like well put together human being. This isn't fucking Bakersfield dude hanging out at the Hooters and getting kicked out and being like, I better walk home from Rosedale Highway now, whatever. Like, like, this is not that. This is like some fucking dude that like is legitimately without his phone, his car keys, a way to access his friends. He's not going to put himself in like more danger than he already is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that was a theory. The whole peeing theory that a lot of times you'll see that he was just trying to pee into the river because he was like, you know, just needed to find a bathroom.
Correct.
And relieve himself. Also doesn't make sense because it's like his shirt was tucked in and the shoes were on. It doesn't really make sense why he would tuck his shirt back in and then he fell and crossed his arms.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't really add up to me.
And then to bring in that episode again, Breaking Homicide, Secrets of the River, they talk about that too, where the currents at that time. And they show they actually fly out to this exact location and they look at the river that's the Mississippi River, and that thing's like a raging, roaring river at that time when they visit it. And they actually it's like the Lockmaster is somebody.
Ooh,
that keeps
like a Batman villain.
It does. But it's just like a normal fucking job description of somebody that controls the, you know, or takes a record of like the flow of water, you know, coming down, because there's a dam and that's actually where they find his body, where they control, you know, the water flow and whatnot. But the Lockmaster has to keep a record, an everyday record of how fast the current is running. And so they actually get into the records. They go back to, you know, October of 2002 all the way up to February of 2003 and see how fast the river was moving. And they look at it, and it was barely moving that fast at all. So that eliminates the fact that, you know, he could have got swept up by the current. And they look at it like, well, what if he would have fell in? He goes, well, somebody would have seen him right away, even 72 hours later, because the river wasn't moving fast at all. You know, his body would have, you know, washed up to shore. It would have, you know, we talked about, you know, that Nicollet Island.
Yeah.
People were scouring that place for his body. So he would have been found eventually because his body wouldn't have gotten that far because it was barely moving at that point. And they also talked about how, okay, maybe he slipped in and died right away because of how cold the river was. And everybody unanimously said, if somebody would have went into the river during that time on October 31st of 2002, the temperature of that water would have been so cold that, you know, you would have died within, you know, 20 to 30 seconds. And that's just how cold it was. And you watch football. Football's going on right now. There's a game going on right now. And Minnesota gets fucking cold as shit. And that night was no exception. So the outside temperature that night was 20 degrees. So if he would have went into that water, it would have been way colder than that 20 degrees. I believe they said it would have been somewhere around like 2 or 3 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's possible, if we talk about, you know, the accidental part of it, that he went into the river and died, you know, within 20, 30 seconds. But what is not explained is why is his body, you know, in that King Tut position? Why does he have, like, you're flailing around, you know, trying to get out of this freezing cold water. Why do you have a big clump of your own hair in? And why are your clothes perfectly intact? If you're flailing around trying to get out of this freezing cold temperature, those Spirit Store moccasins would have flew off immediately. And, you know, we're assuming your shirt would have come untucked at some point during your struggle. So accidental doesn't make any sense here at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I don't think the accidental part makes any fucking sense. I'm surprised that it was humored as much as it was. At this point, you know, to fast forward a little bit, the family does say, hey, we want to put some money into this investigation because we don't think that you guys are doing a good enough job.
Mm-hmm.
So this will tie into the next theory. So the family puts in some money. They want to know, why was Chris, if we searched this river up and down, why did it take us this long to find Chris's body?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if he was frozen, like he would have been like a frozen log bouncing up and down the river.
Correct.
We would have seen him. So it doesn't really make sense. Bodies tend to float. And that's the other thing. Jacob mentioned how bodies are usually found face down. I don't know if you did you mention yeah. that? So, you know, because of your lungs being the top part is basically like a buoy, they would just find like a body floating down the river.
Yeah.
So it took way too long to get to the point where they find the body. Not only that, but the body is so well put together at that point. It's like 4 months. Like, dude, this guy would have literally been fish food. Like,
correct.
Like, he would have been falling apart at this point. And that's the other thing. They found every limb intact, all the shoes intact. His moccasins were still good.
And there's pictures of, like, his body of, like, after it was found or whatever. And, I mean, there is some decomposition. I mean, granted, 4 months later, your body's not going to be perfectly intact. But it's more intact than it should be, given the fact that 4 months had passed.
Yeah. So the big thing I think that the family does is that they hire a private investigator. They also hire some kind of like forensic dogs
mm-hmm.
that were very well known around the area. So the family obviously has money because they're sparing no expense. They hire these dogs to sniff out from they know the last place that he was seen was that bar.
Mm-hmm.
So from that bar, the dogs basically trail to two different spots. One turns out to be, I don't know if we mentioned it, but there's one place that the dogs go to, and that's a place that becomes a point of interest later on because that's a place where a man was seen in a kind of a fight at that area. And then the other one is where one of the bouncers from that same bar had his car parked.
Correct.
So they bring these results to the police investigator, and the police investigation's like, no, these are kind of like just inconclusive like results. This is not enough for us to do a search in that guy's car. This is not enough. Like you just because the dog pointed out these two points of interest, it's not enough for us to like dive into this guy's car and like find out to see if there's a blood trails, any luminol lighting or anything like that.
And here's the thing, too, that somebody was trying to say that the cops told the families, like, oh, we don't trust, you know, the bloodhounds that, you know, all that. They were kind of giving that excuse, like, you know, lie detectors, like, that's not a reliable source of, you know, of proof, right? They were trying to give them that proof. And you look it up online, but a bloodhound, the bloodhounds that they used, right, this canine unit that they used, were actually almost like 100% spot on. And never mind that we used at this time, this is like when, you know, you mentioned 9/11, that they're using, you know, cadaver dogs and stuff like that, you know, TSA, they're getting those, you know, bomb sniffing dogs and whatever. So for the police to tell the family that is very fucking fucked up, because it was just like, no, across the country, you know, these bloodhounds and canines are being used to sniff out, you know, more than just fucking, you know, bodies. They're using just drugs, bombs, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't understand how they just kind of like
dismiss
the whole dog thing. And I understand that those were not the police dogs, but those dogs have like worked on actual police cases before. So I was just like, that's kind of weird. So at this point, we don't look into the bouncer for some weird reason. But let's get into one of the bigger theories. We'll save that fun, wild one at the end for shits and giggles. But this is my personal favorite theory and the one that I put the most stock into. So we talked about his girlfriend. What was her name? Ashley Rice. And her gentleman friend, Mike Casey. So Mike Casey is a police officer in the local area. Mike Casey and Ashley Rice were friends from working at that bar together. They also were seen that night very flirtatiously hanging out for the rest of the night. She was, as I mentioned, she was that sexy police officer costume character. She borrowed his shirt. That was his shirt that she was wearing.
Which might be a fireable offense, if I'm not mistaken, because that's government property.
I don't know. I didn't look into that, but I was like, that seems pretty fucking weird. Like, yeah. How are we okay with this? Like, yeah. She's borrowing actual police officers, like, costume.
He's a family man. We're not going to worry about it.
And that is one of the other things that's, like, super disgusting about this whole thing. That he gets away with a lot of things because of the whole family man thing. Which, he has a wife and kids. Of course he's going to be hanging out with another girl on Halloween night. Just the super, like, seems like a total scumbag kind of guy, and I don't want to shit on him. I don't know him personally, but he comes across as that scumbag guy. He just met this guy, and he's also the reason that Chris is kicked out of this bar. He spends the rest of the night hanging out with his girlfriend and gives her a ride home. It all just seems very sketchy. I remember we talked about this earlier on in the week, and I was like, dude, that cop guy is like totally shady. Like,
I remember texting you back, man, I hope his name's Melvin.
Yeah, he gives total Melvin vibes.
Yeah.
He's a total Melvin, dude.
Shout out to our previous episode. Yeah,
Listen to that Patreon, dude. Like, Melvin is, like, let's paint a picture of Melvin. Melvin, as a person, he's the dude that hangs out at Hooters. He is Hooters guy.
He's got all of Jason Aldean's fucking records.
He's
coming in hot, everybody.
Coming in hot. He is that guy. Like, he's planning a vacation right now as we speak. He's Googling hotels in Las Vegas. If Las Vegas is booked, he's going to Pismo. but, like, you know, we all know Melvin. Yeah. Like, Melvin is
he's
that
got a
guy.
Couple of restraining orders on him. He's got a couple of kids in different counties. Come on, now. Yeah, we know this character.
He's been arrested for public intoxication a few times.
Yeah, he might be on a public sex offender record somewhere somehow.
He also holds the Bally Championship for like most hot wings eaten under like 10 minutes.
His pitcher's in a couple of Hooters.
He's also like one of those dudes that like he's kind of buff, but at the same time, like the fat outweighs the buffness.
Yeah,
that's just a Bakersfield thing.
Yeah,
but anyways,
I feel like you're talking about me at that.
No,
point.
That's not you. I'm just saying, like, that's a lot of dudes in Bakersfield where it's like, dude, you just stop.
Yeah,
that's the Hooter lifestyle, dude.
So with that said, you know, you mentioned that, you know, Mike Casey had Chris, you know, kicked out of the bar because, you know, hey, he wanted to have her all alone to himself. And maybe that those feelings were reciprocating. Like, yeah, she's kind of like in this entanglement with both of these gentlemen. She's got her boyfriend's phone, wallet, and whatever, right? And so he's going to be around her. So what better way to, you know, remove him from the situation? Get him kicked out of the bar. And there's different stories that were going around about, You mentioned that it looked like, you know, he had peed himself, but actuality, mm-hmm. it looked like it was probably just beer spilled on him. Now, it wasn't Chris's beer that got spilled on him. So I guess earlier in that night, this speaks to the type of person that Chris was. There was a sketchy feller that came into the bar and he started hitting on somebody else's girlfriend. And like you said, you know, when you're in your early 20s or whatever, like there's a lot of this like fucking shit going around, a lot of fucking TMZ bullshit going on, right? And so this sketchy feller from outside comes in and starts hitting on somebody else's girlfriend. The boyfriend gets involved and, you know, they start going at it or whatever. And Christopher, you know, being the nice, you know, gentleman and scholar that he is he breaks up this altercation. He says, hey, it's not worth it. Hey, this girl right here, she's already spoken for. Why don't you go, you know, drink your drink over here? And why don't you guys go over here, right? So he's kind of, you know, trying to be a peacemaker at this time. And so that's how the beer gets spilled onto him. Now, one theory that I liked, I don't know if you want to get into this, is that there was this notorious drug dealer slash gang member, Jeremy Lynn Alford, who was known to patron this bar quite frequently with this gang of people. And we'll get into that, I guess, at the end, like Art was talking about. And one of the theories that's floating around there is that Jeremy was actually that sketchy fellow. Now, Jeremy not wanting to be told what to do, he might have abducted Chris and, you know, murdered him at this point. Now, who is this Jeremy Lynn Alford fellow? Again, like I said, he was notorious for patroning this establishment. He was known to be a drug dealer, and he was known to be in this gang that was known for, you know, murdering a lot of people. Well, fast forward a couple of months, a couple of years down the line, Jeremy finds himself in jail for brutally murdering his former roommate. I believe they said they hacked him up to death and then burned the house down in which they murdered him in. And him and his brother, they, you know, flee over to Iowa. They go to jail and whatnot. So when all of this investigation is going on with a private investigator and then the new police chief, Tim Dolan, reopens the case, they get these rumors that, hey, there's a Jeremy Lynn Alford fellow. You probably want to contact him because he might have some information on where Chris went that night. And I guess the theory goes that, you know, again, Jeremy was that guy that, you know, that Chris, you know, broke up the fight for. Somehow, some way, they find each other outside. Chris is somehow coerced to go into the car with Jeremy, and they murder him on that Nicolet Island. Now, within that Nicolet Island, there's a place called Satan's Cave where a lot of people, you know, have like these underground parties. And that TV show that I was talking about, that Breaking Homicide, they go down that theory and they actually explore that cave. And you could tell it's like one of those places like teenagers go to hang out and drink or whatever, you know, because you're away from, you know, any adult supervision or whatnot. You see a lot of empty beer cans or whatever. But it's called Satan's Cave is because there's a lot of graffiti all over the place. And, you know, you see like, you know, 666 and murals of Satan and Beelzebub.
Insane Clown Posse.
Yep, exactly.
666.
No, but you see like all this like satanic stuff, like, you know, goat's heads and, you know, candles being, you know, burned or whatever, like effigies. And they're thinking like, maybe what happened is like Jeremy and, you know, his posse, his insane clown posse, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, take him down there, murder him. And at that time, that cave was known to flood, you know, whenever the river's waters would, you know, go up and down or whatever. And maybe they had his body stored there when they murdered him. And then once, you know, everything started to thaw out, it came out of that cave. And that's why you saw his body move into, you know, St. Anthony's Falls Bridge in that late February month.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definite possibility. One thing I'm surprised we haven't talked about it just yet, but his lung capacity was like 50% of what a normal healthy lung is.
Correct.
And this guy was an athlete. Like, he was not your typical like fucking couch potato with like, you know, fucking smoking like 20 cigarettes a day kind of thing. Like, this guy was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He was in good shape. 21 years old, like, you know, with no health conditions or anything to speak of. So what a lot of people believe is somebody, you know, how you get to the point of only having like 50% lung capacity is one of the most common things that people will bring up is like when you put a bag over someone's head and they die of suffocation in that way, that will lead to about 50% lung capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the theory is that somebody must have put a bag over his head, killed him that way.
And which explains like the clumps of hair, because you got to think.
Oh, I never thought about that. That's Jacob, you're kind of a genius. Go ahead.
You're welcome. But you got to think, because all these other theories that are, you know, going around, and we'll get into like the date rape thing, if you will, in a few minutes. But you got to think, like, I'm thinking like that clump of hair, like that's a pretty big piece of evidence right there, right? How did he get that clump of hair? And then they ruled that it was his hair. You got to think, you put a fucking plastic bag over your head. There's no fucking, you know, bruises on his body, which the parents thought was weird because he's a lacrosse player. I guess he had a couple of practices and a couple of games. He was the goalie, so he would have gotten bruised up a little bit. You got to think, I'm fucking fighting for my life. I'm this fucking star athlete. I'm trying to get this bag off of my head. You're going to be grabbing at your head trying to get this off of you. And that probably is how he got that clump of hair in his hand. He dies, rigor mortis sets in, and his hand, he's got a death grip on these strands of hair within his fist.
Yeah, no, that's actually pretty genius. I just thought about the bag thing doesn't really make sense, but what if they were like, we'll give you a ride home. Mm-hmm. He gets into the car. He thinks that these bouncers are like, I think the bouncers involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that, well, these guys were bouncers at a bar. Maybe they're good people. Like, maybe they're here to serve and protect in a weird way.
Yeah.
He gets into the car with them. And maybe not a bag, because obviously if there's a bag, how's he going to grasp his hair? But what if they have just like a rope or a belt or something, and like as he's in the front seat, they choke him, and he's basically like paralyzed. He's just grasping at whatever he can. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. That's a really good theory, Jacob.
Well, I don't think they would have, like, you're talking about like in Goodfellas where they put like
the belt. Yeah, now that I think about it, that would have left a ligature mark. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking too, but let's get into like the whole bouncers thing. You mentioned earlier where the dogs, you know, they go to a stall and they lose the scent right there at the stall. I believe it's stalls 89 and 90. And they do confirm, you know, where the parking garage was, that there was a bouncer that was parked there that night and the night after at that stall. The private investigator actually finds a feather and some blood in that exact area where that car was parked. Feather, come on, he's wearing a fucking Indian suit at that point. So it tells you that maybe he got into the car willingly, because again, this is a star athlete or whatever. Maybe he got in that car willingly, because you got to think, it's 20 degrees out, he's in this flimsy spirit costume. He doesn't have a jacket, doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have his wallet. He's thinking like, oh, okay, I'm going to get in this car. They're going to drive me back to my place. And then something happens. What happens? We don't know. But it explains how he got to either that Nicollet Island or, you know, the St. Anthony Falls Bridge. And the Federal Reserve cameras don't see it because he's in a car. He's not walking at this point. Now, it's important to note when we're talking about these bouncers or whatever, on that same show, Breaking Homicide, they interviewed somebody who said a couple of months before this incident happened, there was another person that said that, hey, he was drinking at this bar, and all of a sudden he started to feel woozy. And all he could think about is like, man, I need to get the hell out of here. Like, I'm about to like fall asleep at this bar. This is super weird. And so he starts to walk outside, and the two bouncers start to attempt to put him in their car and, you know, take him away.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily for him, like, he still had all of his senses, and he started calling out to his friends. His friends come out, you know, and save him from these two bouncers at that exact same bar. And what had happened was, is when they took him to the hospital, they found high levels of GHB in his system. Now, yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to say the scientific term for what GHB stands for, but all you need to know about GHB is it's a date rape drug. And the funny thing is that when the toxicology came out for Chris's body, they found a little bit of GHB in his system.
Yeah, I mean, so I was surprised that that gets brought up. A lot of times people will bring up, well, GHB is a naturally occurring chemical in the body.
Correct.
But why don't we hear about that in, like, Kurt Cobain's case or whatever? Like, we don't hear that in, like, other, like, cases. Like, oh, well, GHB is found. If it's naturally occurring, why is this getting brought up in this case? Mm-hmm. Was it abnormally high? Was it higher than average? Was it just maybe, like, 10% higher? And, like, maybe that's all it took just to get him to knock out. Like, if somebody was found dead and then they were like, oh, this guy had seems like somebody slipped them like 2 melatonins the night before. Like, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing that you should have to explore. I know that melatonin is something that's naturally occurring in the body, mm-hmm. but if the melatonin is a little bit higher than it should be, then maybe this guy took melatonin. Maybe that's why he was able to like get shot in the head while he was sleeping, kind of thing.
Correct. And on that TV show too, they act like a forensic, you know, pathologist or whatever. Like, hey, we found this. This chemical within his body on his toxicology report. And oh yeah, by the way, we have somebody that was at that bar a couple months previously that think that they were going to get abducted and got GHB slipped into their system. And the pathologist guy was just like, that happens in your body naturally. That's a natural part of decomposition. Mm-hmm. But I kept thinking though, it's just like, well, like you were saying, why don't we see it in other reports? And my thing is just like, this was like you said, he was a star athlete. He was athletic as shit. Why would he willingly, other than the fact of the elements, why would he willingly get into the car with, we're assuming, a bunch of strangers, and his scent leaves off in the stall of another bouncer? We already have somebody who previously said that they had been abducted. And if you listen to our Patreon a couple of weeks ago, Art talks about how he was at a local bar. And, you know, these...
I was going to say, what? Yeah.
Art was at a local bar, and you get some free weed from some very attractive young women. And they, I guess, they were going to take you somewhere else. But it was, like, some of the strongest weed you have ever fucking smoked at that point.
That was a weird thing. Yeah, you should go listen to Patreon. But, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of red flags. A lot of, like, this weed is, like, really strong. At that point, I was smoking weed pretty regularly, to the point where I wouldn't have like felt the effects of that level. Like I could barely like keep a conversation going, kind of thing, you know? And like, yeah, strange red flags to say the least.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you talk about date rape or whatever, we get the stereotypical story about like, you know, this hot girl, let's just say Ashley Rice or whatever. I mean, we had Patty on last week and she was talking about how, you know, her past traumas and whatever, right? Like, girls like her have to worry about date rape all the time, you know? And it's an unfortunate part of society. But we don't talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, guys get drugged all the time too, especially at bars, sketchy-ass bars like this on Halloween night. Now, it might not be for sexual reasons. It might be for organ harvesting reasons.
I mean, the dude was in good shape.
Yeah. Good kidneys on that boy.
That kidney must be young and ready to go. Like,
you know how much that could fetch on the black market?
At least $10,000.
I'm like, then you got two of them, so that's a fucking brand new Celica right there.
Yeah, there you go, dude. There you go.
But not to make a joke out of his death or whatever, but like that is a very real thing that does happen. I mean, for whatever reason or whatever, people can't. What I'm saying is, just watch your drinks when you're out in public like that.
Oh right? Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, don't be guy or girl. Like, don't, especially girl though. To be honest, there's a lot of dudes that just left the fucking Hooters too early and now are like,
they heard that fucking coming in hot song by Jason Aldean and they want to come in hot.
I've been single way too long, man. Jason Aldean's playing, I'm revved up and ready to go. I'm gonna I'm a race car on red right now, boy. Once that light turns green, I'm going.
There you go. But yeah, so to me, like that, to me, that's still telling. Even though that pathologist said, like, yeah, that is a naturally occurring chemical in your body, it still gives me skeptical hippo-wise. Like, why would he willingly get in the car? Aside from the fact, yeah, it's cold or whatever, but his apartment is literally over that bridge.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense. It, like, these things do not add up. Like, they just don't. Like, I don't. It makes me go back and question the police department. Mm-hmm. Like, who was in charge of this shit? Like, who dropped the ball? Like, there's the fact that they came to suicide so fast. The insect thing is like one of those things that I thought was like super interesting. I was like, this is not getting talked about enough.
And the fact that it took, what's his name, like Dolan, Danger Dolan, whatever his name is.
Tim Dolan.
Tim Dolan. Shout out to Danger Dolan's YouTube channel.
There you go.
But Tim Dolan, like, it took, his police investigative crew, like, to reopen the case. I believe he does get interviewed on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he says something like, I have a 50% probability of it being a murder, 30% of it being, like,
Accidental,
and only like 10% of it being a suicide or something like that. That's the one thing.
I like how your math adds up. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I heard it on that podcast. I didn't actually watch the show, but in the podcast they talk about how he's there. Yeah,
and they say they actually have a suspect in custody in another state, and that was the Jeremy Lynn Alford. And
Jeremy Lynn, shout out.
Jeremy Lynn. But so he says he has a suspect in custody in another state. So at that time when that show was being filmed, you know, that's when Jeremy Lynn Alford was in Iowa. They arrested him for that murder of, you know, the former roommate or whatever. But the TV show says, that's fucking interesting. Let's try to contact him in jail. So they do this whole fake thing, like where they pretend like they're a female TV producer, and then want to ask him.
Just imagine like a male guy trying to pretend. He's like, hey, this is Jeremy Lin. Hey, I'm a big fan.
It's like Michael Jackson. The South Park of Michael Jackson.
Like, oh, dang, this girl's voice sounds hot.
He starts fapping right
You're
then
coming
there.
You're coming in hot.
Like that Jason Aldean song.
Dang, Jason Aldean was right.
They pretend that they're a female, but they write a letter. They don't get on the phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. They write them an email saying like, hey, we hear that, you know, you might have some information on this Christopher Jenkins case. Do you know anything about this? And again, they presented themselves as a woman because they thought that, hey, he's more likely to respond to a woman than a man, right? Mm-hmm. And so he kind of responds like in a weird way. Like, if you don't have any information on this case or whatever, you're in jail for murder. You're basically in jail for the rest of your life anyways. Like, you're not getting out of jail after you fucking hack someone up to death and then burn the fucking whole house down. Like, that's, you took it to a level that is beyond parole. Like, I don't care. You can be fucking the most lenient governor ever. Like, you're not putting this motherfucker on parole. So he's in jail for the rest of his life. There's no reason that he would have to lie about this. So instead of saying like, no, I don't have any information, like I don't know anything about it, he says, I don't want to comment on anything that I haven't officially been charged or convicted of yet. And right then and there, like, to me, like, that sends up so many red flags, like hashtag red flag on Twitter or whatever, right? Like,
what is up with that, man? What, dude, that, I hate when things just like take off and they're not even funny or interesting. And they're like, become like a thing online. It's like, God damn it, this is not funny. You guys need to listen to the Jim Rome show. Jim Rome does this thing where it's called like triple U's, uninteresting, unreadable, and uninspiring. That was like triple U's all over it, man. Like,
yeah. I don't get it either. Maybe then that's just like my fucking old man in me coming out. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure if I was like 21 years old and I was coming in hot, I'd be all about the red flag memes.
Coming in hot.
I'm coming in hot, dude.
Like Jason Aldean.
Dude, I'm a fucking virgin right now, bro. I'm a fucking race car in red right now. I'm about to jizz on Twitter, dude.
Oh, my God. Listen to our Patreon to get all of these Jason Aldean jokes. But, I had very skeptical hippo eyes, like, when they fucking said that. And then the police officer that's, you know, one of the hosts of the show, he goes to the parents and parents of Christopher Jenkins and presents them with that, and they're like, the mom immediately too, she's like, she has the same reaction that I had. She goes, that's it. That's almost like him skirting around the fucking question, saying like, oh, he has information on this, or he knows, or he's the one that did it and whatnot. So to me, like, I do think Jeremy Lynn Alford has something to do with it, and I don't like how it has to be just Jeremy Lynn Alford or the Mike Casey thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think, in a way, like, why couldn't they be both? So the road that I'm going down is this Mike Casey guy. He's a police officer that does security on the side. He's very familiar with the area because he, like I said, he does security in that area, and he frequents that bar. We also know that Jeremy Lynn Alford was notorious for hanging out at that bar. And in the TV show, they interviewed one of the bouncers who said that, yeah, we know that both people were in that bar at that time. And, you know, he's talking about Jeremy Lynn Alford. And the host asked him, like, okay, what was he all about? Like, yeah, they were gang members. They killed people. They fucking sold drugs. They were pretty ruthless or whatever. So Mike Casey would have known that. I don't like bringing this up, but it has to be brought up for fucking context purposes. This is the same police department that Derek Chauvin, the guy that murdered George Floyd, the police officer that killed George Floyd, He was also doing security at this time as well. So we know that there were some shady bad apples, as Jason Aldean fans would call them, within that police department, right? So we know there's some fucked up people within that police department that has a culture of fucking, like you said, just brushing shit under the rug, calling things that as an obvious suicide, that was obviously homicide, and calling it suicide for convenience purposes. And then you mentioned too, I made a kind of a little bit of a joke of it about it. Why wasn't Mike Casey questioned about this at all? And the official response from the Minneapolis police was, oh, he's a family man. We don't want to ruin his marriage. And it's just like, what? You mean to tell me like a fucking family had to lose their child, but we don't want to investigate somebody might have some involvement in this man's murder because we don't want to fuck up his family?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely like disgusting. Well, it reminds me of our local police department here in Bakersfield. We have been like ranked as like one of the worst police departments. Shout out to our police department. Keep doing what you're doing. But yeah, I mean, this is like before that whole like Blue Lives Matters bullshit was going on. But there's always been a brotherhood in police departments where like
protect your own kind of thing.
Protect your own. Yeah. And like I think that that's what was going on here. I think that I don't know if that guy directly went and killed Chris Jenkins. I don't think that that's what happened.
Mike Casey.
Yeah. I don't think he killed Chris Jenkins.
But he had something. He knew that, okay, this is what he wanted that night. Now, this is purely speculation, right? We don't know for a fact what happened or whatever. Like, for all we know, Christopher Jenkins could have been assaulted by a fucking crackhead bum or whatever, right?
But even then, it's like, you know, manslaughter isn't murder because you meant to do it. But manslaughter is because this dude threw him out on a fucking night that was like 20 below.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing a Halloween costume and didn't give him a chance to get his, like, his cell phone and his car keys, just kicked him out. Like, who are you, the authority, to make that decision to say, hey, this guy's too drunk, get him out of here? Like, that is one of those, like, you know, off-duty cop bullshit things where, like, off-duty cops feel that there's still some kind of authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, get the fuck out of here with that shit. I think at the very least, I'm surprised that, what was that guy's name again? I'm sorry, the cop.
Mike Casey.
I'm surprised Mike Casey hasn't been at least charged with, like, manslaughter. Like, to a certain degree, that is manslaughter.
Or just even question, because on that TV show, they make no note of him at all. Like, at all. And I was telling Art before we started recording, I was like, why is that? Because online, like, when you're looking at everything, like, even, like, the police reports and all this shit, like, Mike Casey's name comes up quite a bit because that's a big part of the story. Yeah. In the TV show, he's not mentioned at all. And somebody said that, like, oh, he was mentioned in the TV show, but... And I know you brought it up before we started recording. Anybody involved, you know, with the employment of that bar was given a gag order and, you know, were not allowed to talk to any police or whatever. Unless the lawyer was present. And they also said that, you know, Mike Casey's people would have sued, you know, Discovery Plus or whoever was fucking, you know, producing that show if that would have made it to TV. So, like, I thought that was wild as well. Like, that's got skeptical hippo eyes all over it as well, and I'm like, whoa, how can you leave out a big portion of the story like that on national TV? It's almost like doing like the Nicole Brown murder and not mentioning OJ Simpson. Hey, maybe OJ's innocent. Hey,
the blood trail went to his house, but he wasn't home, so
yeah.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, it's all gravy, baby.
It's all gravy. He was on a flight. He was there's no way mathematically, dude, he's all clear, dude.
Yeah, ask Cato Kalin. But yeah, so to me, like, maybe what was happening is, and like I said, this is all speculation. Mike Casey wanted to get at Ashley Rice. He needed Chris out of the picture. So he saw, boom, hey, there's this rough feller and this gang of fucking drug dealers or whatever. Like, hey, go into the bar, make a scene. Chris is gonna get beer spilled onto him. Let's use that as justification to kick him out. The whole pee thing, like, that was just convenience or whatever. But we've been in bars where you have nothing to do with the fight, but you get kicked out as well because you were in the vicinity or whatever, right? That gives him credence to say, hey, get this guy out. He's making a problem. He's causing a ruckus or whatever, right? Get him out of the picture. So that way he has the rest of the night to himself. And he's got his boys there to seal off that fucking bar so he's not coming back in there. Ashley's not chasing after him, like you said. She stays in the bar, and she actually gets a ride home from Mike Casey, you know? And we don't know what happens for the rest of the night. Maybe she goes home with Mike, or maybe she's a good girl and goes home or whatever. I don't know. But somehow, some way, Chris's life is lost because Mike potentially had this drug dealer slash gang member distract Chris away from the bar that night.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little bit shitty for the girlfriend because it's like, man, worst case scenario, a lot of his death, I mean, a lot of his death either way is kind of on her hands. Like, I'm not trying to blame her,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that she even tried to find her boyfriend and give him the keys and, like, at least give him his, like, form of transportation is, like, kind of on your hands, too.
Or his wallet so he can call a cab or something like yeah. that.
I mean, it's kind of shitty on her part. Like, what does she expect to happen? I mean, she's 21 years old and she's probably intoxicated, so she's probably not, like, 100% like full blast, but it's like, goddamn, like, if you can get charged for like for murder for texting someone, like if someone's like suicidal and you're like, yeah, just do it, fuck it, just go ahead and do mm-hmm. it, and like that's a real thing that's happening now. If you text someone that, like, you're probably going to prison. Like, how is this like also not another form of manslaughter? Like, those, that was just like bad judgment. And like, not to like keep harping on Mike Casey, but like Mike Casey's the adult in this situation, which is weird that he's hanging out with these like young 21-year-olds.
A lot of guys that do
and
that,
and it's
though.
Like, yeah, it's like, dude, at one point you got to stop hanging out at the fucking Hooters and like mm-hmm. coming in. You got to stop coming in hot, bro. You can only come in hot. You already came in hot enough. You have a child at home.
Yeah.
The Mike Casey guy is just like, to me, red flags. We talked about it early on in the podcast, like what makes a conspiracy compelling and what makes a good conspiracy. And it's like, anytime that there's this amount of red flags, like, you know, amount of things that make your spider sense tingle. And this is one of those dudes that just makes a spider sense tingle. Like, this doesn't add up. The police department not looking into him doesn't add up. The police department having, like, this very, like, strong brotherhood that doesn't want to look into their own, doesn't want to, like, go after their own. It's just very suspicious to me.
And like I said, it's the same police department that's responsible for George Floyd's murder.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the precedent that's been set, like, right here. And it's unfortunate that this family, they don't have proper closure. Cause like, I couldn't imagine like having to bury my own son. Like, that's one of my biggest fears in life. Like, to be completely like transparent. Like, I think about that sometimes. It was just like, man, this kid better outlive me, because like, that would be one of the worst heartbreaks of all time if I ever have to bury my own son. And the fact that like these parents, they not only have to bury their own son, but they have no fucking justice, you know, in regards to this. Even the people that are there to fucking serve and protect them are fucking, we're writing them off like, oh no, it was just a suicide. And all the fucking evidence points to it not being a suicide, being a homicide. It took a whole other police chief coming in to fucking do the proper listen to the private investigator's investigation, fucking shit that the parents had to pay for. And for this to go even be public knowledge, you know, yeah. Like that's insane to me.
No, I agree. I this whole case was fucking insane to me. I'm really glad we covered it. There's one more thing that we haven't touched upon, and this is where it gets fun. You know, it's been kind of a dark episode so far, but if you guys want to have fun, if you're like, dude, Jacob aren't bringing the fun. There's one element of this episode that is, or of this case that is a little bit fun. And that's, if you remember, about 100 episodes ago, we covered the Smiley Face Killer case.
Yeah.
And to tie it full circle, this guy fits all the criteria of a smiley face killing murder. He's a young college-age guy, good-looking guy, in good shape, leaving a bar early, walking alone, kind of intoxicated, by a body of water. Literally the only thing that this guy does not fit, to my knowledge, they never found a smiley face spray painted or anything nearby. But he does fit all of the criteria of the smiley face killer. And if you don't know about the smiley face killer, go back to listen to that smiley face killer episode.
Like 90-something, I want to say.
Yeah, just Google it. That is something that's been, I believe some police investigators came up with this theory that along the kind of the Rust Belt of the United States, there's been these murders that happen around the winter months where mysterious murders basically of younger college age guys keep getting found inside bodies of water, and they find a smiley face spray painted on. I mean, it fits like 90% of the smiley face killer murder, but at the same time, it's like, dude, that cop guy I'm not gonna say he did it, you know, until proven
innocent. Proven good.
Yeah.
But they didn't find anything spray painted there that we know of, right?
Yeah.
So two things real quick. First thing is the mom, Jan Jenkins, she asked the police, the new police chief, Tim Dolan, she asked him, hey, by any chance, did they find any smiley faces spray painted there? And he kind of gave her like an answer that wasn't necessarily a yes, but not necessarily a no, which again is kind of weird. But the second thing is Jeremy Lin Alford's gang. Now, I think they label him as like the head of the gang or whatever, right? But his right-hand man, mm-hmm. his name or his nickname or whatever, or his gang name or whatever it was, Smiley. So it's basically
Smiley, yeah.
So basically Smiley with a Z.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting too when I heard that. I hadn't heard someone tie it into Smiley Face Killer type of thing. The Smiley Face Killer thing is that they also used to find the word, like, damn it, there's a certain word, and it means, like, the baby bird in Native American.
Oh, okay.
I have to look into it, but obviously we covered that case a long time ago. I don't remember it that well. But, yeah, I thought that was another one of those, like, little interesting things. It makes sense. Like, it fits into the Smiley Face Killer, but... I don't think it was Smiley Face Kill.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I mean, again, probably not suicide. Almost definitely not suicide. Probably not an accident, but definitely a homicide. And that's the part that, unfortunately, we don't know what happened. Who is the person that actually, without a shadow of a doubt, is responsible for Chris Jenkins' murder?
Who do you think? This is purely Jacob's speculation here. Who do you think is responsible for this?
Responsible or who actually took the actual fucking act of killing him?
I guess both.
So, I mean, responsibility wise, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's hard.
I guess
to
you can say society's responsible for
it's America's. I mean, Mike Casey, I mean, if he actually had him kicked out of the bar, I mean, he has to hold some responsibility towards this, you know, again, even if he doesn't, you know, get murdered by somebody else. The fact that you leave this person, it's 20 degrees on a Halloween night. All he's got is like the Spirit Store fucking Native American costume on. He doesn't have his keys, doesn't have his wallet, doesn't have his cell phone. That's cruel in itself. There's some responsibility to be blamed right there if he's the one that had him kicked out of the bar. A lot of the bouncers have now come out and said that, like, no, Christopher came out on his own accord. Like, he wasn't kicked out. Nobody kicked him out. Seems kind of suspect to me. Of course you're going to say that because you
kinda
want...
Kind of sus, as the kids would say.
Yeah, sus. Yeah. It doesn't jive with me. Of course you're going to say it because you want liability to come back to you, right? There has to be some responsibility to be blamed there. As far as who actually carried it out, who knows? If it was this gang of people that Jeremy Lin Alford was, you know, the head of, it could have been Jeremy Lin Alford, or it could have been, you know, just some fucking... lackey, you know, within the group, you know.
Yeah,
it's very possible it could have been just somebody trying to get, you know, come up the ranks or whatever, and to be able to, you know, go up that next rank level, you got to kill somebody or whatever, right? That's very much a thing. And so it could have been that. It could have been Jeremy Lin Alford himself. I mean, he's been known to brag about that, apparently. There is reports that say that across the street from that bar, at this pizza place where the Bloodhounds did find a scent for fucking Chris.
Sub and Pubs or something? Pubs,
yeah.
And Subs?
Yeah, pizzas, pubs, and... Oh, Times Square Pizza, pizza and Subs. That the dogs did find his scent there. There was reports that 10 men were there beating up somebody across the street. So it's very possible that that happened. But again, there wasn't any bruises on his body, you know, when they found him. But who knows who the actual person was. But I do think there is blame on the bar as well as Mike Casey if he instructed the bouncers to remove him from the club.
Well, the bruises you bring up is interesting because there should have been bruises regardless of his body, as his family would point out. He was a lacrosse player, and his family was like, where are the bruises? Like, he was constantly bruised up from his legs from playing lacrosse, and he had literally just had a game like the day before or something like that, so mm-hmm. He should have been bruised up. Like, we should have found bruises along his legs, mm-hmm. And they found no bruises, which is also another one of those things that makes me want to believe that his body was stored, or maybe he Maybe he did get beat up. Maybe that was him, and they took him in the car. They took him somewhere, had him in some dude's garage for a while, figuring out what to do, and then we're like, fuck it, let's just put a bag over his head and dump him in the river, mm-hmm. you know, a few months later. And that's why he was so easily found 4 months later.
Probably. Because, I mean, some people say that, you know, he was killed, and due to the fact that the water was so cold, it preserved his body for 4 months. That's why, you know, it didn't look like, you know, he had, you know, been dead that long or whatever. That's a possibility. And then also possibility too, it was like fucking Reservoir Dogs. They just had him like in a warehouse somewhere and were fucking toying with him for a while. So his body had time to heal before they finally killed him, you know, positioned his body and, you know, just sent him down his way down the fucking Mississippi River. Who knows? We probably won't never have that answer. But the fact of the matter remains is, unfortunately, this great individual is no longer with us.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I mean, I don't want to make too much light of it. My heart goes out to the family members. My heart goes out to, you know, every person that probably has like a lot of survivor guilt. I feel bad for the girlfriend, even though the girlfriend should be a little bit responsible. Mm. You kind of like did him dirty on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that this case remains open until solved.
Yeah, amen. So with that said, Art, do you have anything else you want to add to this?
No, guys, just keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far into the episode, tell your mommy boo too. Shout out to Jackman, shout out to Warren. Shout out to Jason Aldean for being a guest on our Patreon episode. and that's it. That's all I got.
So with that said, everybody, if you want to listen to those Patreon episodes, go ahead and head on over to patreon.com/ArtandJacobDoAmerica, where every single week we put together a bonus episode for you guys. As long as you donate, you know, $1, $2, $3, it doesn't matter. You'll get a bonus episode every single week, as well as some other stuff in the mail that I will be sending out. It's been a fucking hectic past month or so I haven't been on top of that. So as soon as I get some more free time, I'll be sending some more stuff out, especially for Christmas. I got to put together some stuff for you guys for appreciating, you know, all your support. Because you guys don't know how much it means to us, you know, when, you know, we're fucking two independent dudes fucking putting together a fucking podcast, you know, it costs money, dude. So I appreciate anything that you guys send out. So shout out to Nicole and Alejandra for being fucking the fucking MVPs of that shit. Shout out to Jordan. You know, even though you got poor taste in music, you know.
You know what? I was trying to close the episode out with a Jason Aldean quote. So I literally Googled Jason Aldean quotes. And you guys can, if you guys have internet, I assume some of you guys may or may not have internet. I shit you not. Some of the quotes are just like, what? Is this a joke? Some are, I love baseball and the love of music. Like, what? That was his quote? He also has one that says, I love playing music and that's what it's all about. What? All right. And Malcolm has such a rich history of music. What the hell are you talking about? Like, Malcolm. These are just like broken thoughts. I'm a country boy from Georgia. Like, that's his quote. Like, what the fuck? I assume, like, that means two things. Like, one, either this guy is, like, an idiot, or two, he doesn't talk very much.
No. But if you do want to talk a lot, head on over to all the social medias at Art and Jacob Do America, except for Twitter, we're at Art and Jacob Do A1. Go to our Facebook group where we have discussions like this all the time. I believe earlier this week, we were discussing the whole Dave Chappelle getting canceled, blah, 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 Netflix or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So if you want to go over there, talk about stuff that probably won't make, you know, fucking episodes or whatever, head on over there. Have some intellectual conversations far above Jason Aldean's intellect going over there. Head on over to our YouTube. I don't feel like we don't fucking pimp that out enough, too. So if you like what you hear. Yeah,
man. YouTube's crazy.
We do work on our physiques a lot. We try to, you know, be sexually appealing to all the lady listeners that we have out there, all of you.
Jason Aldean fans.
Yeah, there you go. So head on over to YouTube to watch us in fucking full HD. Support us there. Subscribe. Share all those videos.
We plugged the social medias already? Go check out Instagram. We have an Instagram. The YouTube one is pretty fun because, like, the comments down below are like, dude, you didn't care about the fucking... There was also a Sasquatch that was spotted the same night. You didn't talk about that shit, dog. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And then the Facebook one, that was a little too alt-righty for me, but it's like, whatever. That one's like, dude, you got to understand the fucking, like, white man have been held down now for too long and the South will rise again. And I'm like, damn, Jesus, that's crazy. You're crazy, boy.
Why'd you say it in the fucking song? That's crazy.
That's crazy, Jesus. That's how I talk. Anyways, yeah, I mean, every one of them is, like, different. Every one of them has its own, like the Twitter, it's just, like, basically just me.
Porn.
It's just me on Twitter and going, like, dude, check out this red flag thing I posted, dude. But it's a bunch of that stuff. But you know what, though? I just literally, the other day, I was on the actual Art and Jacob Do America, not YouTube, on the actual Art America Do America.
Art America.
ArtandJacobDoAmerica.com. And I noticed that I need to do some updating. I got to give Nicole Smith Bosch and the Sucro Apparel a shout out on there and just like rearrange the webpage. It didn't even strike me until like the other day. I was like, oh, I should update that to Sucro Apparel.
Yes, sir. So check out all our sponsors, Caveman Coffee, especially Sucro Apparel. If you want to support us in another way, you want to wear some merchandise, we have a merchandise store at tpublic.com.
Well, that's the other thing I forgot to tell you. Like, okay, so if you go to tpublic, I found it pretty hard, and I knew how to find us. I went to tpublic. I looked up Art and Jacob Do America, and like if you like go like four pages down, you'll find us on there. But if you go to the Art Jacob Do America webpage, just click the link. It sends you directly to like to the actual.
Good looking out, Art.
Yeah, that, I found that way easier than actually like going on the TeePublic one because it's way harder.
Okay, so do that. Go to Art and Jacob Do America. Click on all the links. Go to the store. You know, buy yourself a fucking T-shirt. Buy yourself a mug. And not because you want to fucking monetarily support us, but because it's like a walking billboard. You know, you walk into a fucking, you know, Logan's Bar and Grill, and you know somebody at the, you know, at the bar is gonna say, "Hey, what is this Art Jacob Do America podcast?" They're gonna go to iTunes or fucking Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts or whatever. They're gonna watch us. They're gonna listen to us. They're gonna support us in every other way. So it helps grow the podcast when you do that. So think of that when you want to buy merchandise for us and support the show. If you want to support other great shows, I highly recommend going to our network at podbelly.com, where you'll find other great podcasts, such as the world-famous Sofa King podcast. Shout out to Brent, fucking one of the greatest fucking podcasters in Bakersfield, if not the West Coast, man. He's a big inspiration to us and podcasters out there, so check out him. Speaking of great podcasters, check out my homeboy Eddie's podcast at the RRBG podcast. Where every day or every week it seems like this dude's interviewing another A-plus celebrity. I think later on this month he's gonna have I can't even think of his name, I'm so fucking tired, but I'll shout that out when he gives me permission to shout it out. But MMA legend, and his Grilla Mall burger is the burger of the month. But yeah, he's gonna be a part of Bloodsport, I believe, 3, so check that out. But anyways, guys, with that said, it's been a fucking long day. I'm ready to call this one off. Art, you got anything else before I sign off?
No. Please do not talk to me.
So with that said, everybody, goodbye and good night.
Good night.